This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Are your kids addicted to screens? Are they fighting a lot? Do you feel like all you ever say is no? Well, you've tuned in at the right time. Hannah Alexander is a teacher and mum of three. And for one entire year, she and her kids underwent an experiment to spend a minimum of 3 hours outside every single day. She joins me now on Hope Breakfast. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Ali. So nice to be here.
Tell me about the experiment. Okay, how did it work and why 3 hours?
Yeah, so as you said, I was a teacher, and when I was studying, particularly early childhood at university, I was reading a lot about the benefits of outdoor play. I'm not sure if you've heard, but there's preschools in the Scandinavian country where they play outside all day long, and I just kept finding journal articles and courses just promoting this idea that outdoor play was really important. But I wasn't very outdoorsy myself, and I often would choose to be inside with my kids rather than out. So finally, I was on maternity leave, and I decided this was the time I had to do it. I wanted to look at whether I could change. Could I do it? Could I do 3 hours a day outside? That was what in the research said was really beneficial, 3 hours. And so we made a goal to spend 3 hours outside every day for a year. And my kids were 1 and 3 when we started. And it completely changed the way I parent and the way we live, really.
I know for me, I'm a way better parent when we're out and about and, you know, not feeling guilty when I'm at home that I should be doing this or cleaning that. How did that year outdoors impact the way you parent?
Yeah, I love what you said there. That is so true. That is exactly what I find when I'm outside, is it's a stepping away from that zone where you have so much to do all the time and you're just constantly looking around at the piles of washing or the dinner to put on. When you make time to go outside together, you step away from all of that for a little period of time. The other thing is that my kids always had a lot to do outside. They were always having fun. So it's a little bit of a break too, because they're happy. You can be together without the pressure of the indoor environment or them asking you for things. They're happy. You're happy. Everyone's out in the fresh air. It really helped me realize that parenting doesn't have to be as intense as it is often when we are inside a lot, that it could be more easy.
And I often find, like, especially, so when you did the experiment, your kids were 3 and 1, that's right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a massive developmental age gap. And indoor play, it can be really hard to find things that both can do. But when you're out and about, like, you know, playing at the beach and sand, going for a, well, not for a walk, because 1 year old can't really do much there. But, you know, there's a lot more things that you can do where everyone's having fun, that you're not constantly dividing and conquering. Do you know what I mean?
Completely. And, as Christians, we can see that God's created the natural world with children in mind, I think anyway. There's so much for a 1 year old to do at the beach. And even now, my kids are bigger now. So I've got 3 now. I've got a 2 year old, a 7 year old, and a 5 year old. And you're exactly right. There's still so much for them to do. We can go to the beach with friends who have bigger teenage kids, and they can be playing in the water and playing together. And even the babies, you know, sitting on the sand and kicking their legs. It's just the perfect place. As you said, it is very hard to find toys that everyone will engage with, but it's like nature provides everything. It's also true for children who struggle with playing with other kids. It gives children a space to go, okay, I'm just going to take a moment and, you know, make a sandcastle or climb this tree or just ride my scooter around here. It gives them a chance to step aside, and it really helps. I think that was one of the things that amazed me the most, just how well kids got on when they played outside.
What about the days when you had zero energy, though, you know, or the weather was just awful or someone was sick? How did you get out and about on those days?
Yeah, this is something I'm still learning in Tasmania, because, you know, Sydney has pretty good weather. And even when it's really hot, that was the hardest I found, when it was really hot. But we would try and get out early in the morning or late at night. In Tasmania, it's often very cold, especially this time of year. It's springtime. It's still there. We've had snow the last couple of weeks. Oh. So when it's wet and gray, I just make a goal to get out. We just have to get out the front door. You know, I don't make too big plans, but let's just try. We'll get out and see what we can do. And often by the time we get our puffer jackets on, get out into the rain and find a bit of a, you know, patch where it's not too wet, we end up having so much fun. Often I think I'll just go out for half an hour with the kids, and we come in 2 hours later.
Oh, that's awesome. I know that you did a couple of little experiments within the experiment. One was regarding toys. What did you learn?
Yeah, so in December of that year, we packed all our toys away except for a handful. And it was kind of convenient because we were moving house at the time. So I packed all the toys away and we had no toys until Christmas Day, basically. And that was really based on a study that I'd read from a preschool in Germany, I think it was, where they did a similar experiment. And they found that when they put away the toys, you know, you might predict that the children would be bored with nothing to do, but the opposite happened. They started playing imaginative games. They left out chairs and bits of fabric, and they started making cubby houses and making dens in the garden in the preschool. And we found something very similar, that the imagination didn't stop when there was less to play with, that actually they created more fun and they could use the pillows and the things in the house. Or when we went outside, we often didn't, and still we often don't take toys. Sticks are enough. And, you know, we might take a ball or their scooters, but they find loads and loads of things to do. And that is so inspiring, because when on that month, when we came home, there was no packing up to do. There was no tidying. There was no Lego on the floor. So I'm constantly... My big kids have just had their birthdays. They're in the same week. And I always remind myself when I'm trying to shop for presents and things that actually if I get in and give their toy cupboard a clean out and have less things, they'll play more with them.
Yes. Oh, that's great. That's good encouragement for me. You also tried a month without screens. I mean, how did you manage that, firstly?
Well, that was, that was also kind of pushing myself to do something that felt really hard at the moment. At the time, our kids weren't watching screens all day long, but they were definitely having them at nighttime when I was cooking dinner. Yeah. And my son was having them when my daughter had a nap. And I just thought, let's just try this. Let's just push into this and see. There's a really book that's, it's quite old now. It's written kind of before smartphones and things. It's called The Winter of Our Disconnect. And it's about a journalist who turns off the screens for her teenagers for 6 months. So inspired by that idea, we turned off screens, which meant also turning off our screens. We kept computers for work and phones, but we tried to have them off when we got home or away. And yeah, it was amazing. On the first night, when we didn't have that screen time at dinner time, the imagination just exploded, and they were playing this game of kangaroos and hopping around. And I just remember thinking, wow, like here I was thinking that it was going to be really hard not to have that time. But play comes in and fills that space often. I mean, we're not a no screen family now. We do use screens.
Sure.
But it's a similar kind of thing. It's a balance, because too much screen time, I definitely notice in my kids, means that it's like, I think imagination is a bit like a muscle. You have to work it, and the more opportunities you have to use your imagination and to play, the stronger that muscle gets. So absolutely, every time we kind of limit screens, we see a benefit. So especially when the kids are little, and as a teacher, that's kind of a something I'm really passionate about, because in the work I do, I see that screen time is great. I mean, there's amazing things kids do on screens these days. My son's been doing coding with Scratch, and he shows me these amazing games he's coded. But when kids are little and they're developing language, it's really important that they have all the other things, that they have lots of talking with us and lots of play and using their imagination, because that builds speech development and language development. So yeah, I think it was a great exercise in seeing how little we actually needed to get through the day.
Mm. I've noticed my one-year-old is always trying to reach for my phone, and it's because I always have it out, even if it's, you know, to take photos of the kids. It's just crazy how, like, that, yeah, addiction can start so early. It's just like,
and
it's
my
two-year-old's
exactly the same. And even I even noticed between then and now, because we have to have our phone out to check in all the time. I used to leave my phone in the car quite a lot and just try and have time for myself, where I was not tempted to reach for it, you know, in a moment of boredom, because I don't want to model that to the kids. But with check-in we've got to check in, you know, in Tasmania,
yeah,
and I'm sure
same.
In Sydney it's the same. You've got to have it charged, you've got to have it on, and, you know, it's important. But, yeah, it's really it's really true. They're a big part of our live screens. It's natural for kids to be curious about them, and my youngest is exactly the same. But, I think it's We just want to show them that there's this wonderful life out there out beyond them, beyond screens.
Now, this experiment was back in 2016, so your kids are obviously a lot older now. Have the habits stayed, you know, like how did it impact your family today?
Yeah, absolutely the habits have stayed. It completely changed a whole lot of things, but particularly for me as a parent, it made me realize that this is a key thing that I need to focus on every day. Just like I think about getting them good sleep and getting them good, getting them eating good food. All of us as parents spend a lot of time thinking about that, no matter what our age our child is. But I also think now that they need lots of active outdoor play. So every day I'm trying to plan our week out so that we can have time to be outside and for them to move their bodies. With my youngest, because I felt that it was kind of unfair, she'd missed out on this year. So we've been setting a goal of 100 hours a month, 100 hours outside every month. So every month, that's her goal. I just record it for my daughter because it's a little bit hard with the big kids going to school and things. But, of course, they get out a lot with us. So I share that on my Instagram often, a little photo with a snapshot of how many hours we've been out each month. And that's just a really great goal to keep us motivated. I find, like what you said about having the energy, sometimes you don't have the energy and you need a little bit of extra motivation. So counting the hours for me just helps remind me to get out, and it gives me that, you know, dopamine hit of ticking off a few more hours. And I just notice the difference so much when we get out and when she has lots of time to move. She's so much happier. She goes to bed easier at night, and the kids all get on better. So sometimes it really is hard, especially now with three kids. Sometimes it feels so overwhelming to get out the door.
Yeah.
But, you know, we keep the sunscreen. At the moment it's spring in Tasmania, so it's sunscreen and puffer jackets by the front door. This is the season for snow and sun. And we're, you know, as much as possible, we get out when we can.
We're obviously very grateful for restrictions easing here in Sydney, but one of the aspects of lockdown that we're all going to grieve, I think, is just that slower pace to life, which means more time as a family. And, you know, now all the social activities, co-curricular activities, you know, after school activities, homework, all that starts to creep in. Any final tips for people and families who really want to carve out more time to spend outdoors?
One of the things I'd absolutely say is that with young children particularly, a lot of that is not necessarily. We don't need to have them in classes when they're only one or two or three or under five. Going to the park for 2 hours and taking your scooter is going to provide everything. In fact, the research actually says that when children participate in adult-oriented activities like a soccer class, they're going to do less physical activity than if you just take them out into a natural space and they are allowed to run free. So sometimes it means just crossing things off the list. We don't have to do everything. We're so excited with our children to get them into the things we love, like sport. But if we give them this really good foundation in the first few years, there's going to be so much time for that. And they're going to have these really healthy bodies ready to go. So that would be one thing I'd say is just look at all the commitments and say, what do we really need to do? Because if you want family time to happen, beautiful family, slow, as you said, togetherness, you're going to have to make it a priority and you're going to put it on the calendar. I plan my week every week and it's on the calendar. The other thing I'd say is, outside is an amazing way to do social gatherings. And of course, we know now that the virus spreads much less when we're outside, but it takes the pressure off. Meet a family, bring a picnic. No one has to host. No one has to clean up. No one has to do that mad rush around before people come. You know, the kids can play. No one has to provide activities. So it's a great time to get out and be together and enjoy what, as you said, what the golden moments of lockdown, that slowness, that being together. There's nothing better really, is there?
No. It's so interesting and so inspiring. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us. You can learn more about Hannah's experience at ouryearoutdoors.com. Thanks for being on Hope Breakfast this morning.
Thank you so much, Ellie.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with life words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.